Welcome to the Mary Black Show. Today, I'm presenting the wisdom of Ada Marie, the Golden Oracle. You know, we've all had those if I'd only stories. And I was wondering, what does a seer do when an opportunity like that comes along?
It's quite simple. When you are given something, your heart center will act on it. And if it acts on it, you will answer. If it does not act on it, you will not answer. So it's not a mistake if you feel no, do not act on this. It's correct. Actually, this morning we had that experience, Mary. We were given some wood that we had to go load up and unload and bring in, and it was like 7:00 in the morning. And I said, "Okay, we'll do it." Just like that, came right out of my mouth. We went out. We drove down there. We loaded the truck with wood. We came home. We unloaded the truck with wood. Then we split it up and put it into the woodshed before noon.
Well, now, you can't keep a good seer down.
Well, I mean, the opportunity came unexpected, totally unexpected. A man came over and said, "I understand you're looking for wood, and I have some I would like to have removed from the property. Would you like it?" And, of course, I immediately said yes, and my husband looked at me. He said, well, come on over and pick some up. So he had to go back later afterward and get the rest of it because I was doing the show. But
uh-huh.
I'd say 3/4 of it him and I did this morning. We went out. We went right out. We loaded it up. We brought it home. We unloaded it. We loaded it in the woodshed. And by noon, I was in the house, and I thought that it was. I actually thought I'd missed the show, but I didn't miss the show. It was 1:30, like I thought. So good.
Yeah. Okay. So look, what you know, in my experience, Ada Marie, many of us talk ourselves out of the opportunities, and we think about it, and we either let it slide by, and later find out how much we've lost, or we how do we tell a real opportunity from a hoax or a waste of time?
Well, a lot of times, like in this case, he had offered it to other people, but nobody would come and get it. And when somebody offers you wood, you go get it. That's it.
Well, I guess if you live in the mountains of Arizona, you sure do.
Yes, but also, in another case, a lady called and asked if there was an opportunity that 4 women could come. And instead of, I do one-on-one, you know, Mary, my work is basically one-on-one. And
right.
these four women come out of California. They're all friends, and they wanted to know if they could come for the 3 days. What would I charge them for 3 days if they all came? 4 of them came together. Well,
uh-huh.
You know the way business is today, you got to think quick. And I said, well, this is what I could do for you, but this would only allow each one of you a half a day of quiet personal counseling. In other words,
mm-hmm.
each one of them would only get a half a day instead of a whole day. And they'd have to think about that because that 4 times, Friday night, Saturday, and they leave Sunday,
sure.
there's only going to be
uh-huh.
enough time to get each one of them a half a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they got to
mm-hmm.
eat. I got to
sure.
feed. I got to do all this stuff. And I thought about it, and she said, well, let me talk to my friends and see what they say. So I said, okay,
mm-hmm.
do that. We're in Oracle, Arizona, out of Tucson. Where are you? And she said, well, we're in San Diego, California. I said, okay, you're an 8-hour drive away from me. So if you're going to drive, and probably 4 people will drive, remember that you're 8 hours out. So if you're coming on Friday, you should be here by Friday evening at 6:30 or 7. And then you can leave on Sunday to drive back. And okay, so I'm waiting and waiting for an answer. I don't get an answer. I get an email. And, you know, I'm not good with email, but anyway, I get an email, we're coming, tell us the day. So when the show is over, I'm going to call them up and tell them the day, because I'm not going to email it. So but I mean, it was just two little, I consider those miracles. Now, I consider opportunities miracles. Miracles and miracles. You know, that's what an opportunity is. It's a miracle. And if you turn it down, you're the one who's in trouble, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you'll beat yourself up for a long time when you miss a really good opportunity. And that keeps you from doing the things that you could do.
Right. And helping the people you could help, too. Like, one of the things that's always been a joy to me is if I was able to stay up late enough and look at the stars. When the stars fall, there's certain months of the year when the stars fall out of the sky, you know. The month of August is one of those months. And so my daughter, who is really wonderful about this, in fact, they live in California, and they drive up out into the country so that they can watch the stars fall, because they take a lunch and everything, and they go up and they sit up there in the woods and watch the stars fall. It's really a beautiful thing to see. And I know there's a time in the spring also, but I don't know when it is, and I haven't been able to reach her to find out. But I think it's coming up pretty soon, because the solstice is coming up and I think it comes shortly after the solstice. But that's an opportunity that everybody should try to see. It doesn't cost much of anything if you can see the sky and you can see the stars fall. It's absolutely a wonderful opportunity for everyone. And you can find out when it happens by checking with the people who have the telescopes, you know. Those are the kind of people that run the telescopes and stuff. They know when all those things are happening every year.
Oh, sure, the astronomers and everything. Yeah.
Astronomers, right. And they will tell you when it's going to happen in your area. So
You can look it up on the Internet, I believe.
You can? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that could be true. But that is an opportunity that I think everybody should take, because it's so peaceful and beautiful.
Yes, but there are small opportunities too that we can have. We can make opportunities, and then we can take advantage of the ones that come to us. You know,
right, and you can make an opportunity happen very simply by just asking, just saying, "Okay, Father, I would like to do this and such, whatever." And you can make it happen, because you put the energy out to get it, to make it happen. It's the energy that counts. Your attitude toward it and the energy you expend. Expended energy is positive, constructive, and then it will come to pass. And
if you always say, thoughts are things.
Thoughts are things, and that's why I say the positive, constructive things that you think of, you become. The negative things that you send out, the selfishness or the hatefulness that you send out, are things that make people sick. And the stress of those things can actually kill them in the end, because they create so much stress that they get every single miserable disease there is. So
that's one of the things that happens when you lose an opportunity, isn't it?
It is. I was told in 1995... to move here to Arizona. I got here in 2004.
Didn't move goodness,
quite
okay.
Fast. I didn't get here as fast as I was told, and now I can see what happened, you know. Hindsight's 2020, Mary. Hindsight is 2020.
Oh,
you look back and think,
absolutely.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I should have done that earlier, then I would have had this and this and this already done. But I didn't.
Well, you know, it's... I always think that that spirit it doesn't really have time. I mean, they don't count time the same way we do. And
they don't count it at all.
It's the important thing is that it gets done, not when.
Right. But it's also important.
But on this plane, yeah. our opportunities slide by so fast.
They disappear. I mean,
do you have a way of recognizing, helping to be more alert to opportunities? You could share with our listeners.
As a child, my grandmothers and my great grandmother was very adamant about. If a thought come to you, you should write it down, and then you will get the information on how to handle it. If you're now this is what most people don't really understand, Mary. If they're walking down the street and they're walking to the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
they're not really thinking of anything. They're just walking along. It's a nice day. And it's nice out, and they're enjoying the weather. And all
mm-hmm.
of a sudden, a thought comes to them that says, call their sister, or call Dorothy, okay. And
mm-hmm.
that thought just comes into their head, and they ignore that thought. That could be very, very sad, or it could be even lethal. But they need to act on that immediately. Or if
mm-hmm.
they're walking down the street and they come to the corner and they're going to cross and some reason says stop, you know, something in their head says don't cross. So if they don't cross the street and a car goes whizzing by like crazy and their life is saved, that's great. If they don't cross the street and they wait for a few minutes, there may be some other reason that they should wait to cross the street. But by all means, they should wait to cross the street. I mean, their higher consciousness, what we call our God self, comes in and actually protects you in many cases from many mm-hmm. things. Or you might have been saved from going in a store when it was being robbed or some other catastrophe was happening.
Oh, yeah,
there.
This is true. You know, Ada Marie, we have a couple of people that are waiting on the line, and they would love to talk with you and ask a question. Would you be ready to do that?
I guess I am, as ready as I'll ever be.
Okay, let's see. Let's see him. Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
My name's Lori.
Hi. Lori.
Hi.
You wanted to ask a question of Ada Marie?
Yeah, I'm wondering, well, I have a big decision coming up. I need to move, and I want to know, how I'm going to make the right decision where to move to next time so I don't have to keep moving and moving because I make, you know.
Where do you live, Lori?
Washington State.
Okay.
Are you moving because of your job?
No, because the horrible landlord. And now this landlord's, you know, they're raising my rent because the Section 8 people are requiring them to fix the chimney so it doesn't fall down. And so they're,
uh-huh.
you know, raising my rent $100, whereas the neighbors, you know, the one neighbors who pays more rent because they have a bigger apartment, they're only raising their rent $15. And then the rental manager tells me it's none of my business, you know, if the neighbors' rents are raised or what they are raised. And if I ask them or bother them, I'm to be evicted. You know, and I'm just it's just ridiculous. It's so abusive. Like when I moved in here, they hadn't done any cleaning, and then they didn't change the locks, and then my stuff started disappearing, you know, and it's just been a nightmare.
Wait a minute. What do you mean your stuff started disappearing?
Somebody was stealing things from me.
Well, if you want to find a place to move, Are you going to move close to your work?
I'm not working. I live on disability right now.
Okay. Well, then, I would say to find a place that is comfortable and small enough that you can be comfortable in it if you're disabled, and close to somebody that you know, or close to a hospital where you have to go for treatment.
Yeah, there's not a lot of...
Are you on Section 8, too?
Yes.
Housing 2?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Then aren't the Section 8 people supposed to help you find something?
They don't help you.
Oh, dear.
Well, okay, then there is a source to get help, because I've done it myself, because I had a lot of children. I was alone with my children, and I would have to find something. So I would go to an area where I wanted to live, and I would find a block that was within the, you know, school area. I would walk down the street. And sometimes I would see the place that I knew I should go to, but it was rented. So I would say to whichever one of the kids I had with me, okay, we're going to live right there. And they'd say, okay, Mama. So by the time I was ready to move, I'd go back, and guess what? It would be open. I could rent it. And so you might go, what you might do is just walk around the area where you think you would really like to live, something that would make you feel good, that you would be close to something you needed to be close to, and be comfortable. And just walk around the block. It's a block, four sides, okay? And if you find something there, just look at it and say, okay, that's in my budget, I'll rent it. Now, you don't even have to know if it's in your budget. You just have to tell it to be in your budget. And then you'll find one that is in your budget, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I had a lot of kids. And I would just have to walk around and find the right place, and I would find it. Sometimes I'd have to walk around four different squares in an area that I wanted to live in because it was close to school for the kids, you know. But I would walk around until I found one that I knew, I felt, I could feel the energy. It was fine, and it was going to be within my budget. And even then, back then, when $45 was a lot of rent to pay, Mary, if you remember that way back then,
yeah.
It was a lot of rent. That would be where I would be because that's what I could afford. And
Laura, so, it sounds, yeah, I'm getting kind of helpless, discouraged feelings from you.
That's what I'm getting, too. And that's why she needs to buckle on her armor and get out there and walk around and look. Are you able to walk?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I had trouble for a while.
Well, just...
And be thankful that that's behind you. I want to ask you how much time you spend being thankful for what you have.
Oh, I don't know.
You should, instead of looking at what you don't have, look at what you have and how lucky you are. I was stabbed 26 times, and I lost a lung and a right arm, and 5 stab wounds in my stomach, 1 in my heart, my colon cut in half in 3 places, numerous stab wounds in my chest. And you know what I thought? How lucky I was that I could talk, I could see, I could hear, and I had one arm that worked. And today I have 2 arms that work. I have a lung that works. Of course, my heart's still working naturally. My colon's working, and my stomach still has healed itself up so I can eat. So all I did was say, thank you, Father, because there's enough of me left that I can make it through, and I'll find a way. And you will always find a way. If you will use that statement, I can find a way, and then start letting the ideas come into your head. It won't take long before you'll be up and going. Find a way. My dad used to say when we were little kids and we were told to do something on the farm, he'd say, now, this is how you do it. And then if we'd forget, he'd say, find a way. You find a way. And we had to find the way. But we had to do it or we didn't get supper. See, there was a kick at the end of that.
Wow.
If you didn't do what you were told, you wouldn't get any dinner. So you learned real quick to find a way.
Do you know, sometimes the things that we fear and that we fight against and we feel we're angry and we are being victimized, those are the very, very things that make us stronger. My spirit guide, Stardust, always says the obstacles and the troubles and all of the challenges we have on this planet are our spiritual barbells. They are what make us strong. So it looks as if you've got a few barbells there that you're not working fully. So maybe that's one of the things that Ada Marie is trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you will just look in the mirror and tell yourself, you can find a way. You know you can, and I am certain I can. A few times, your strength will come back. Believe me, it'll come back. Even with only one arm to tap my temples to say, I will find a way. I am finding a way. I know I am. I know I am. I did. And when my other arm was able to move a little, and eventually, God, I can use it. I'm actually holding the phone with it right now. I worked and worked and worked on that. It took years, but I got it.
Take a deep breath, Laurie, and be strong and get your strength and use it for what you can do and help other people along the way.
That'll help you.
Yeah.
Okay, and thank you so much. And we do have someone else who's waiting very patiently here. I hope it's been very helpful to you. Listen,
yes.
Ada Marie, would you like to give your phone number just in case?
Oh, yes.
520-896. 896. Okay.
9510.
510.
Okay.
520.
Yep, 896.
896.
Yep.
9510. 9510. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good honey. Luck. Yes. Okay. Lots of luck. Okay.
Thank you.
Mhm.
Hello.
Yes. Hello. We have someone whose phone number ends with 6454.
6454.
Yeah. Are you there? Hello? Oh, it looks like they hung up.
Oh,
that's
okay.
A shame. Okay.
Well,
I guess they couldn't wait any longer.
Right.
Okay. So, you got me here.
Yes.
So, I'm just wondering how much energy do you think we really lose when we let an opportunity slide by?
If we find ourselves stressed or depressed, we lose 1,000% of our energy.
Uh-huh.
If we allow it. But if we
mm-hmm.
look at it and say, okay, this didn't work, I'll try something else. And then wait for the voice to give you another option. It will give you another option. It always does. And even though it doesn't look presentable or something you want, if you actually go with the option, it may be better than it looks. And a lot of times it is. You know,
Hello?
A lot of times the option.
I'm looking. Yeah. Hello, I'm looking. It looks like our caller came back. Hello? No, they didn't. Hello. Okay, sorry.
I thought I heard somebody come back.
I thought I did, too.
Hmm.
But, okay.
I know
perhaps
these answers,
you want to speak.
Some of these answers sound old-fashioned and practical, but you know what? When the pilgrims came on the boat to this country, they had to make do. They had to find a way. As my dad said, they worked together and they found a way, and they didn't shirk their job that they were given. He was always great about that. You know, you're going to do
absolutely
the job, and you're going to do it well. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever
mm-hmm
it was going to be, because that is how people survive. And today in our world, with all the chaos that's going on, there's a lot of unkind things that are happening. Like that lady, they were in her house. She didn't have much, but they took what she had. But what I want to tell you something about that. My house has been robbed, too, but what goes around comes around, and every time somebody takes something from you, they will lose 7 times 7. It's written in the Bible, 7 times 7. As you give, and you will receive back 7 times 7, people who steal, who lie, who cheat, will lose 7 times 7, and they don't know what or how they will lose. People who make
mm-hmm
people painfully mean to people, they are people who will end up having that done to them, if not in this lifetime, another one. I mean, it will come back. It will always come
oh,
home
yeah
to roost.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, to, one of the interesting things that happens very often when you have something that's stolen, you will receive something of equal or higher value. And many times people don't count that.
Well, if they dwell on what they lost and not on
yes
the fact that what goes around comes around, and I
mm-hmm
hope people understand that, what goes around comes around. If you do something great and wonderful, something great and wonderful will return. If you do something mean and selfish and unkind, meanness and unkindness will be given back to you in the same measure or worse. And so when we say, well, they did this, they took this, they took that, but what goes around comes around, it always
mm-hmm
comes around. So there you go.
It certainly does.
Yep.
The law of the universe, the primary law, is what you send out returns to you increased and multiplied.
Right. That is correct. That's
powerful
why
statement. Very powerful.
It is, and
statement
that's why so many, many people are in such a state of distress, because they've done something unkind and selfish. They've lied. They've cheated. They've done whatever, and it comes back to them, and they're always miserable.
Right.
They never have a consciousness of clarity and peace. And somebody calls up and says, well, I love you. I want you to know I love you. Well, that's okay. That's okay. And that's fine that they love me. I love them too. But I don't say anything about them, and I don't talk about them. So I just am perfectly content to know they love me, when in reality what they're doing is they're fishing for information, and they're going to share it with somebody who knows who. You know that
mm-hmm
goes around?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly.
Right.
Well, so now I'm just thinking, many times people think that they've got a wonderful opportunity and they go flying off following it and they find it's a hoax. How do you tell the difference between a real opportunity and a hoax?
I took a job once because I thought it was a good opportunity, because the pay was good and it was close to where the kids could go to school. You know, it seemed to fit everything,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But
yes,
I took the job only to find out that the conditions within the job itself were anything but good. And finally, after a month, I quit the job because even though everything else was good, the conditions inside the office were absolutely not. And
oh
not to be acceptable. And I just got up and walked out. I
uh-huh
was looking. This was another statement that I grew up with. My dad used to say, I was looking for a job when I found this one. You just stopped my looking for a while. And you can go look for another one, you know. And I always kept that in mind when the kids were little and I'd be looking for work and I'd get it.
Mm.
And then maybe somebody's wife didn't like me and I'd get fired. And then somebody would think I worked too fast and I'd get fired. And
make them look bad.
Yeah, right. So then I'd get fired. So I was looking for a job when I got that one. And the boss would write me a check and I'd say, thanks, man. I was looking for a job when I found this one. I'll find me another one. And they'd just look at me, you know. See?
Many people give up too quick, don't they?
You can't give up. You know, you draw breath, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you, where do you get it? Out of the sky? Out of the air? That's where it comes from, right?
No, yeah,
so,
sure.
Okay. Now, get this. When people give up, they might as well just sit down and stop breathing because if they're too damn lazy to open up their head and reach up to God and ask for help, then there's a problem. So they ought to just go back home.
Ah, okay. All righty.
Well
you're not very, very, very charitable toward quitters, I hear.
I'm not charitable toward laziness.
Mm-hmm.
Laziness is absolutely unacceptable and,
mm-hmm.
and for anybody, Mary. They don't have to work, you know, like 20 hours a day, but they need to take a job and they need to be honest in the job and they need to do the best of their ability. That's what they need to do, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all
okay.
we ask for. A lot of women work ungodly hours and never complain a bit. Some women work maybe 2 hours a week, and they bitch all the time. But they don't have any ambition. They don't have any reason to want to be happy. They just want to be miserable. And maybe being miserable is a nice thing to do. I don't know. I never tried it.
How do you handle it when someone comes to you and says, I have an opportunity and I want your advice of whether I should take it or not?
I get that all the time. And the first thing I say to them is, what does your heart tell you?
Mm-hmm.
Because I get all kinds of opportunities, but my heart says, no, this doesn't fit in what I'm doing. You know, it doesn't fit with my work. So
mm-hmm.
I have to turn it down
mm-hmm.
because my work is to help people help themselves. It's not to find a way to figure out a way to get out of something. It's a way to figure out a way to walk through it. You know, you either go over the mountain, you go around the mountain, but you're not really going to dig a hole through the bottom of the mountain to get through it.
Uh-huh.
So, there is a solution. Take for instance the four ladies who really wanted to come to me, and they were trying
mm-hmm.
to find a way, and they wanted to make a deal with me. Now, that was very, very honest and straightforward, right? And
yes.
I have to honor
absolutely.
That, because if they really wanted to come that bad, and they really were excited and wanted to work with me for a couple of days, 3 days, then they put together a plan before they ever called me.
Could you explain a little bit about what they were coming to, what they hoped, and what they get when they come to you?
Well, I work on my base work is for people that come on one-to-one. I work with executives. I work with corporate people, and I keep
mm-hmm.
them on a healing circle after they're here. They can stay on that healing circle for $50 a month, and they get to call in free 1 hour a month. But these ladies who are coming from San Diego, I think, that area, anyway, they got together with somebody who had been with me and been a client of mine for some time, and they were talking, and the one woman said, you know, I'd like to meet this woman. I've talked to her on the phone. She's very nice, but I'd like to do a retreat. And then she called me, and then the other lady called, and I said, well, my retreats are one-on-one. Once in a while, I do, a group, like not over four people. I won't take over four because I don't have enough time for them. I need time with them. I need your time. And I do work over the phone, and one man I worked with for 8 straight hours. And when we hung up the phone, his wife called me 3 days later, and he was home from the hospital. He was well. And that made me feel good because he listened to what I told him, and he did what he needed to do, and he got himself home. So,
fabulous.
But I do, when they come here, the maximum, the very maximum, unless I'm doing a one-day, all-day thing, you know, for a big group, which I don't do much anymore, four people can sleep in the guest house. It'll actually sleep six, but it's a two-bedroom, and it'll sleep four people. So that allows them to have a place by themselves to sleep and to get up and to come up for breakfast and to rest or relax or whatever they're going to do. And then I work with them. I work with all four of them once. Then I'll work with each one of them separately a half a day. You see?
Okay.
And that way they get to do their private things. And the only thing I ask of them is, to please write down three questions, their main problem. Three questions.
Okay.
And I want their main problem. And
sure.
Then
well, speaking
we can
of
go
questions,
from there.
We do have someone on the line, I think, who is interested in asking you a question. Let me see if we can get in touch with them. Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Who's calling?
My name's Debbie.
Hi. And you'd like to ask Ada Marie a question?
Yes, I would love to. I am going through a change, and I feel like a career change is coming, but I can't be specific. And I know you have to be a little more specific. Well, I don't know. Maybe you don't have to be specific with the universe. You know, I say that, but then I get thrown
You're
into
dealing
things.
With a seer here, you know.
Yeah. So I'm like, what am I saying? I'm trying to be. But I was wondering if you see anything as far as that.
Well, you need to ask the question. One question, please.
Oh, okay. Do you see my career changing, my career path?
Well, I don't see it. It's not making a complete change, but it's making a turn, you might say, in another direction.
Okay.
That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing they're not exactly connected, but it's something that you're well versed in.
Okay.
And if I'm wrong, I'll stand graciously corrected, but I see it being a very positive move.
Great.
Yeah,
I am interested in natural healing, but I just can't see how to get from here to there.
Well, I teach that myself, so that's something I teach people. You have to first heal yourself.
Okay.
The Bible says, physician, heal thyself. And that doesn't
mean where do you live, Debbie?
I live in New Orleans.
Okay.
Okay.
And, it's not, I used to live in California where a lot of this is accepted. It's becoming accepted here, but.
Very hard. I mean, you have a hard time with it.
Well, and
that's,
my Reiki teacher's like, you got a hard assignment. So I usually do get a hard assignment.
Mm-hmm.
But
right
now I'm just in sales. And I've had a few careers. I used to be in television. And then I didn't like it anymore, and I never could have the next job lined up like you were talking. It just never worked out that way, but God always watches out for me somehow.
That's right.
You know? But, I don't know. I just don't see how to get from, but I see what you're saying, that I need to heal myself, so it must not be completely healed where I don't absorb other people. I'm getting better.
Let me say, if you give me a call, write my number down and call me. We can talk about that, and I can set you on a path. And 520-896-9510.
520-896-896. Okay.
9510.
Okay.
Yeah. And okay. I will help you get that started. It won't take too much. You're pretty
okay.
pretty well. You're in a pretty good space.
Oh, great! It was hard. It wasn't easy.
I didn't tell you it was going to be easy.
I know it wasn't. And I learned the same lessons at different levels, and I'm like, oh wow, here again? Wow,
I've
really?
Been here before, but it won't.
Yes.
One thing about it. As you work at it and move up the path, they'll add things on and you'll go, oh, my, that's nice.
Yeah.
You know,
it's kind of a spiral. You're sort
of
in the same direction again, but on a higher level or on a more further out, you know.
Yeah,
yeah,
well, we can put a ground under you, and then from there you can just walk up the steps one at a time. That's what I do for most of my students. I set them up so that they can have a grounding place, and then from there they can go forward, because you have a lot of knowledge you don't even realize you've got, and you've used it automatically, not even knowing you used it. So
I don't know how I get it sometimes.
Yeah. So
yeah.
That's what we have to talk about. We will.
Okay.
Just give me a call.
Okay. Grounding is my hardest thing because I tend to live up there. And it's like, oh, yeah, I got to come back down. It doesn't feel so good down here. But
right.
Yeah. So.
One thing about being
you.
Up there, you don't trip over anything.
You just float.
Yeah, but you know, just you do have to remember that if our bodies and this place that we came to were not important, why would an immortal spirit tie themselves down into it for an indefinite period of time?
Yes.
Huh. Yeah. It's my one thing I have to constantly remember is to ground. Constantly. I thank y'all. You might have some more questions coming, but I thank y'all so much.
Well, I thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Yes.
Okay,
I'll be online, and we have another 15 minutes or so here.
Oh yeah, I'll be listening
to chat.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sure. All right. Bye. So there was a young lady who used the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
That was available, and see what happened.
Right. And she's most positive. Her auric field was very, very bright blue, so that was good.
Oh,
that was a good
nice.
Thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. So could you give some samples of people that you have helped to take advantage of opportunities that came along?
Well, quite a few, actually. You know, I've helped a lot of people start a business and become very
mm-hmm.
successful in it. And there was a young lady who had been an actress, and then she left the field of acting, but she wanted to stay in Hollywood work. And so
mm-hmm.
she came and talked to me, and I said, well, what do you like to do best? What is the thing you like to do very best in life? And she
mm-hmm.
said... I like to drive cars. And I said, well, what do they do in Hollywood that you could drive a car? Oh, she said, I could find cars for shows. I said, okay, what's the name of your business? She told me the name of her business. She walked out of my house, and I said, you go get a hold of some company in Hollywood that you can rent cars to, and then go find them. And that's what she did, and she became the most successful car locator in all of the country and in Europe.
Fascinating.
Didn't take her long
so
at all.
So she found cars that they needed in movies and things like that. Isn't
that's what
that
she
amazing?
Did.
I love
and
it.
All kind, every kind of car there was, and she had a good time doing it too. And she made a lot of money doing it. It was wonderful. So
uh-huh.
you know, that was a good thing. And
so,
yeah, then
so
we,
you,
we had
you
a,
helped you really helped her to create an opportunity, didn't you?
Well, I did, but I did that with a lot of people. A wonderful woman. She was a mother. I'd say, I don't want to say her age, but she, her children were grown and gone. And she said to me, I need to work. You know, I've lost my husband and I need to work. And I looked at her and I said, okay, what do you like to do best? And she says, I love to cook. I said, okay, you have some real options here. You can go to work for some hospital where they cook or some other business where they cook, or you can start a business of your own. And how you do that is really quite simple. Do you belong to a church or an organization? She belonged to some woman's organization. I said, okay, this is what you do. You agree to cater for them. Whenever one of them are having a special party in their home, go cook, cater. She did, and today, when I heard from her Christmas, she said, I've got to take a month off. I am just tired. I got to take a month off, and nobody's letting me do it. And she's been doing this now since 1991 she started. And she's made 3 trips to Europe on vacations, and she's still working. But see, it's a matter of your passion, what you love to do, how you love to do it, and then finding the source. So when people come with a question like that, and most people, if they really are ambitious, they will be extremely successful because they love what they're doing. They love it. One lady started she started hemming pants, just hemming pants for men and women. You know, that's what she did. This was in the Bay Area of California, and she called me and she said she was a seamstress, but she didn't have any work anymore because they had closed the company. But what she liked to do was she liked to measure and do hems. That's what she wanted to do. So I said, well, get in touch with any company that is a fine furrier or a fine, you know, a high rent store place where men pay a fortune for clothes, and get a job as a seamstress. And then you'll get that job. You'll pick up clients to have on your own at home. This was in 1987. I want you to know that that lady finally retired, believe it or not, in 1997, and she was well-heeled, and she could do anything she wanted. So she said, I'm just going to sit here and plant my garden and my flowers and enjoy life. And her Christmas card this year said, Ada Marie, you saved my life. And that was the thing. I said, well, many people have called, though, but look around. Look for things you can do around that start out. Like the man who started after the Depression, the man who his wife made really good noodles. So she made noodles, and he went around the neighborhood selling them for 10 cents a package. That's what they did. And as you know, it's the biggest noodle company in the United States today. So, again, I mean, it happens. You know, it happens. People just have to want to do it. They have to have the will to want and the energy to do it. So that's what it takes.
Well,
that's opportunity speaking.
Anytime there's opportunity, you have to take action. You can't just sit there and let a golden rainbow you know, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is not going to fall in your lap. First thing you have to do is to be alert to all opportunities, and then you have
to do something you don't know how to do. Don't go into something because you see somebody else succeeding at it, and you don't know how to do it. So don't do it. Don't do it. Stay with something you know.
So if there's an opportunity
and
something that you don't really know how to do,
Right.
You can always always learn. You can
learn, Mary, but you can starve to death in the process too. And in today's world, people need to go with what they love, not
mm-hmm.
what they see somebody else doing, because the other person probably loves what they're doing far more than you would.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there was a study, maybe 20 years ago or so, that proved that most of the self-made millionaires made their fortune not in doing something that was going to make them a lot of money, but something that they loved so much that they couldn't help but be fabulously good at it, you know.
Right.
So
right.
When you do something you love, and you just brought that up, it's so important.
It is. It is. And I've helped dozens of people, and I loved them to death, and I would always send them divine pure love and light. Divine pure love and light.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them never really understood what I was doing. They never really realized that that isn't a physical love that you have on the earth plane. It's divine love that comes from God and goes right through you to them, and that they can heal and they can raise their vibration, they can be happy, they can get over depression. Depression is caused basically from people are too lazy to read and think and work. They have nothing to do. Their brain sits around being idle, and that's a terrible thing. My dad used
Absolutely.
To say idle hands are the devil's playground, and if your hands are idle, your brain's not working.
Mm-hmm.
He made sure we worked.
Well, then, you know, when it's interesting that when you are in the habit of working and taking advantage of whatever is available, the opportunities happen more fast.
They're like little miracles. They just come mm-hmm. one after the other. And you can pick and choose, you know, but be careful. Don't take on an opportunity you don't know anything about. Just don't do that. That's just not something you're going to do. So.
Okay. Well, until you're comfortable enough that you can
yeah.
that you can play and explore.
Right. Study a lot before you be sure you're going to go into something you don't know much about.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's what happens. That opportunity is sitting right at your door all the time. It just isn't maybe the one that fits you. There's another one coming. It will fit you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are. They show up every few minutes. You know, there's all kinds of things, and you just have to be able to know that you can give your all to it and enjoy it. Then it becomes real. Becomes a real thing.
Absolutely. How do you go about approaching someone who comes to you and says, you know, the world's against me. I just have one bad luck after another.
How often do we hear that? And it's because
no.
they think negative. What's going to happen next? Is the car going to break down? Is the refrigerator going to quit running? What's going to happen next? They look for trouble. I tell them they're looking for trouble. They're looking for bad
mm-hmm.
luck because they send it out in front of them.
We have someone. Okay. No, it's very true, but some people, they almost brag about what bad luck they have. It's amazing.
They do.
My second husband used to brag about being the unluckiest man in the world, and he would say, and that's why you have to be twice as smart, you know.
Yeah, but
it was strange.
Nothing to do with that. It's because they think negatively, and they create that negativity. You are what you think. You are what you think. The things that you think are your being. You're creating them in your being. They are your being. I know a man who is sick because he wants to be sick, because he wants people to feel sorry for him, and he goes around doing something to make himself hurt one way or another so he can get attention from people. What a way to live. What a sick, sad person that is.
What
you know?
A pathetic thing is that it, for someone to feel that the only way that anyone would get care to spend some time with them is if they are sick. What a shame.
And that's what they want. They want to be sick, and they find a way to be sick. They hurt their shoulder, they hurt their neck, they hurt their back, they hurt their leg, they hurt their toe. Something. They're always bitching about something, and they dwell on it. And so, therefore, they're always sick. People have to feel sorry for them.
Uh-huh.
Too sad.
Well, it is. They even have a name for that. It's the Munchausen syndrome.
The what?
Munchausen.
Munchausen.
Do you remember Baron Munchausen on the radio years ago?
No, I don't. I never heard it.
He lived
on a farm.
His job was he would tell terrible lies, and the announcer would say, "Oh, now Baron, that sounds terribly ridiculous," and he would say, "Was you there, Charlie?" Then the announcer would say no, and he said, "Then it happened." So if you weren't there, you couldn't prove that it didn't happen.
Right,
but they named the syndrome where people that actually hurt themselves, and some mothers even hurt their children, so that the people will feel sorry for them because they have this poor, sick little child.
Isn't that sad?
It's a terrible thing, yeah.
I know. But it's very sad. They drop their foot to hurt their foot so that they can go around with a sore foot.
Mm-hmm,
and they hurt themselves, you know. Crazy.
So they really have not taken the opportunity.
If you really realize that thoughts are things, and if you think very positive thoughts and very, very... send out very positive actions and send out love and light and divine pure love and light, you can't help but be healthy.
That's right.
You're going to be healthy because you can be.
Yes,
you don't have to take anything. You just be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I am in perfect health because I won't stand for anything else.
Well, for somebody who almost died... that's a very positive statement, isn't it?
Well, I really believe it. I believe that when I look in the mirror and I tell myself I'm in perfect health, I believe that. I ingest
Absolutely.
It and I hold it. I grew up on a farm where you didn't get hurt because you didn't want to cry, because if you cried, you were a crybaby. So you didn't do that either, and if you hurt yourself, you didn't tell anybody anyway.
Right. We have just about a minute and a half. Is there anything that you would really like, if you could just say the kindest and most loving thing that you can pass and the most helpful things to our audience?
Real,
what would you say?
Well, the real true feeling that I have is I do love everybody, and I do feel for everybody, and every single day, morning and night, I send divine, pure love and light to everybody in our country, especially in the United States of America, and everybody I know all over the world. And I am so grateful to feel that I am sending this same pure love and light and healing that I have received. And I've received this healing directly from God, because that's the only place healing comes from, folks. So I send this divine, pure love and light to all of you every day. And hopefully it reaches you and you feel better when you wake up. That's it.
Amen.
So amen is right.
So you can call me if you
can call if they want, 520.
We forgot to give your website.
Ada Marie at thegoldenoracle.com is the address. of my email, and the name of the site is The Golden Oracle. So
fantastic.
You're better off, though, to call me, because you're most likely going to get the phone answered before the computer.
Okay.
I'm a little...
Well, and
little,
the hours you can be reached is...
Between 6 in the morning and 7 p.m., because I'm up at 4, and I try to go to bed by 7.
Okay,
in the morning
fantastic.
Is when I say, everybody that calls in the mornings when I get up at 4 and have my chat with God, then I send my healings right after that. So at 6 o'clock, I sometimes pick up the phone.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to end with love and light, and especially
light.
To you, Ada Marie, my charming golden oracle. Have
and
a wonderful day.
To you, Miss, and the same to you, Miss Mary, and you have a fabulous evening, okay?
Okay. Bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye.